Deep down inside, you know, you like the fact that there are new opportunities and there are guys that have been working their butts off and they're going to get an opportunity to see new guys step up into new roles. And it's fun. It's fun to see. You're excited about, you know, what those young guys can do or the new guys can do with those opportunities.
Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analyst and my old Hopkins friend, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Great show today, as we usually do. We'll look back and we'll look forward to a great slate of games this weekend. We have 9 games we're going to cover, 2 on Friday, 5 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. Plus, as you heard, we'll talk to Maryland head coach John Tillman. Lots to get to, so Dixie, let's get it. You see, this is one of the most enjoyable times of the year for me personally as a sports fan. We're about the halfway point of the lacrosse season, so we know a lot, yet there's still a lot of all the conference games are still to play for the most part. There's a lot of exciting lacrosse left, and we still have May and all the tournaments and things. It's St. Patrick's Day is today, March 17th, which is always a great time. And the NCAA tournament is beginning, and it's that time of year where everyone has to find out where True TV is located on their cable box.
2 great days of television. I mean, just what's starting at noon, I think, just basketball all the way through. Talking about TV, okay? So I had a $50 gift card to Apple. I was able to apply it because Ted Lasso season 3 just started. Shout out Richard Chismar. I know he listens to the podcast. Well-known author. His son Noah's playing at University of Virginia. He has been talking about this Ted Lasso for months now. Now it's here. And when I saw it was streaming, I texted him. He goes, "Oh, we already started it. We're already watching it." So my wife and I watched the first episode last night. I just think about like, so I've got, now I've got Apple TV, I've got the Disney package, ESPN, Disney Plus, Hulu. We've got Netflix. We still have cable. We have Amazon Prime. What the hell? I mean, what is, you know? It's crazy the amount of television that's out there, and I'm a sucker for it all, because when you think about getting rid of HBO, you're like, well, then I can't watch this show. You get rid of Showtime. Well, then I can't watch that show. And oh, it's just nuts, the amount of TV that's out there.
It is. And I have all of those channels as well. Plus, we have Peacock. The only 2 I don't have is Paramount Plus, whatever that is.
And don't have that.
I don't have BTN Plus. Obviously, I get BTN on my cable, but I don't have BTN Plus. So last week, there was a game I wanted to watch, and I wasn't going to get it. I just wasn't. It was the Princeton-Rutgers game, and I was just like, I can't do it. I just can't pull the trigger get one more subscription that I'll only watch for a little bit of time. I had BTN Plus last year, but I did not renew my subscription, and I just didn't pull the trigger. But speaking of last week, let's start there. There were a lot of really good games that were very meaningful. Penn State had a huge win over Cornell on the road, and this Rutgers beating Princeton really sets up, and Penn losing sets up a really must-win Ivy League opener for Penn and Princeton. Both of those teams are hungry for a win. But what were your sort of general thoughts about last weekend?
You took 2 games right off the top, right off, you know, Penn State, Cornell. And Saturday was a all-day watch fest for the Dixon family of college lacrosse. Both my boys played on Friday night, Loyola Blakefield High School, and then Loyola University down at Duke had a tough one against the Blue Devils. So we watched all the lacrosse. And Rutgers, what a great rivalry. I'm glad that's been rekindled. Princeton-Rutgers with Shane Knobloch with an unbelievable feed to Dante Colas in overtime to win that game. Penn State going into Ithaca, and Jeff Tamburoni was our guest last week. He talked about not only the challenge of the Big Red this year, but the emotion that would go through with him and the George Boyardi, remembrance in the field where George passed away and Jeff was a coach of the Big Red at the time. They were terrific against Cornell. Really, you know, I don't want to say they dominated that game, but they were in control of that game throughout. Hopkins, Tim Marcille was unbelievable in the dome, 21 saves as Hopkins knocked off the Syracuse Orange. Duke was a buzzsaw in the first 30 minutes against Loyola, just dominated that game. Notre Dame blew out Ohio State. Michigan knocking off Harvard. So two nice wins in a row for the Wolverines. And the Big Ten right now, all six teams are ranked. I don't know if that's ever happened before, or all six teams have been ranked at the same time. You'd have to put our thinking cap on and go back and do some research potentially, but I can't remember a time where all six have been ranked. Penn continues to struggle, losing to Villanova, who's, you know, quietly putting together a really solid resume. And St. Joe's dropped their third in a row. Drexel, Brian Volker and the Dragons, goaltender Ross Blumenthal stepping up with the upset. So a lot of upsets last week, or a number of upsets, and some teams that have been playing really good lacrosse continue to look dominant. And what I mean, you know, Notre Dame, Duke. I mean, how about the ACC this year? They are, they seem to be back.
It's crazy what, you know, we think about what a difference a year makes. So a couple of years ago, Ivy League didn't play. They come back, they put six teams in the NCAA tournament last year, and the ACC doesn't have two of their flagship programs, Notre Dame and Duke, in the tournament. This year, it looks like the Ivy League is struggling a little bit in the out-of-conference, which is where they dominated last year and spun up their metrics for tournament consideration for at-large bids. And then, and this year, the ACC is just on, is playing great lacrosse.
Well, how about Carolina drilling Brown? I mean, I know Brown has the suspensions, but, you know, for Carolina to do that to the Bears, even without some of their key personnel, you know, big, big win for North Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is a great time of the year, and we're almost, you know, pretty much the midway point of the season as we start conference play. And let's get to the weekend that is coming. There are some great games that start tonight on Friday. And one of the biggest one is in the ACC, and number 13, North Carolina, will play at number 3, Duke, at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, both teams coming off of impressive victories this past weekend. Again, Carolina over Brown, Duke over Loyola. And now these traditional rivals get to meet for the first time in 2023. You know, the attack unit for both are impressive. Dewey Egan's been out for Carolina. James Mattin, a freshman, got the start against Brown, scored 3 goals. But Logan McGovern, Lance Tillman are the two headliners there. And then last week, coming into that Loyola game, we're like, you know, who's going to match up on Brennan O'Neill for the Greyhounds? And Andrew McAdory ended up with 9 points in that game. So his move down to attack has been very beneficial. But offensively, this is a Duke team that's really humming and playing terrific lacrosse. Face-off battle will be big in this one. This is on, is it ACC Network or ACC Network Extra, this one?
I'm not sure. Let's say it's available on the ACC Network, and you can find it streaming on ESPN Plus.
There you go.
In another big Friday matchup, number 10, Johns Hopkins, our Blue Jays play at Navy, a game that's always tough and meaningful. That game's at 7 o'clock. I'm a little surprised at the start that Navy's had. I thought the big things were expected for this team, and this is an opportunity for Navy to get a really quality win.
Gigantic opportunity for Navy. They're on a 4-game losing streak, and they've got Hopkins. Then they travel to Villanova, are the next 2 games. No easy tasks. And this is a Blue Jay team that is looking for some revenge after losing to Navy at home. First time they've lost at Homewood Field since the 60s, I believe. So to Navy, first time they've lost at Homewood Field to Navy. I see you give me the stink eye. I don't know what that's all about.
It seems like the 60s. That's a long time ago.
Oh, I was more surprised than a stink eye. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. I was more surprised. Yeah.
Hopkins double dip this weekend. They've got Navy on Friday night. And then I'll have the game with Ryan Boyle Sunday night, the Delaware Blue Hens. So remember, a year ago, Hopkins lost both of those games and really was kind of the nadir of that season, you know, the low point of that season. Hopkins coming into this game, big win against Syracuse, a lot of momentum. Can they right the ship, no pun intended, and beat Navy and then turn around and play a really, really good Delaware team on Sunday? Tim Marcille, netminder for Johns Hopkins has been terrific. I think if you're Navy, where are the goals going to come from? Dane Swanson's been injured. Patrick Skowniak's been injured. I don't know where things stand with the Xavier Arline experiment, if you will. The dual sport athlete's taken a lot of shots. He's only shooting about 14%. I think I could have that number wrong. But where are the goals going to come from for Navy against a Hopkins defense that's been playing really, really good lacrosse, and they've been even tougher with the return of Bo Zulik?
Let's move on to Saturday's top matchups. Five games in particular highlight the schedule in my mind, and it starts with number 7 Cornell playing at Yale, who's ranked number 8. The game is at noon in the Ivy League opener for those two teams.
Cornell had really been impressive up until their loss to Penn State. So you ask the question, is Penn State that good? I think that's the question that comes out, because we know Cornell's really, really good and really well coached. So a little bit of a stumble for the Big Red. Yale has played pretty darn good defense the last 2 weeks, and that is their weakness, getting a lot of goals from guys like Chris Lyons, Matt Brandow, we know about. But they're getting better goaltending from Jared Paquette, which is a huge positive. A terrific game on tap. And both coming into the game, this game not only for the Ivy League standings, but for potential, down the road type situation with, being a quality win that's going to strengthen your metrics for NCAA tournament consideration. Huge game this weekend between the Bulldogs and the Big Red.
Biggest game in the Midwest this weekend features a red-hot number 2 Notre Dame in Ann Arbor against number 20 Michigan.
Notre Dame has been so impressive this year. I'll say it again. I finally went public 2 weeks ago. Notre Dame's my number 1, and they've been playing like it. I mean, just so complete, so balanced all over the field against a Michigan team that people had kind of written off after losing to Marquette a couple weeks ago in Florida, 14-9. Since then, they've beaten Delaware on the road. Then last weekend, they beat Harvard on the road. So they have really righted the ship. Huge opportunity this weekend for Michigan to pull the upset over the Fighting Irish. It's going to be in Ann Arbor on Big Ten Plus. And this has the makings to be a really, really good game. Or it could end up like Notre Dame, Ohio State. Like, I think those are the two scenarios we're looking at, either a very competitive game or a Notre Dame whitewashing. So let's wait and see. I'm leaning towards the former with it being in Michigan. And I think that you can expect a huge crowd because, again, two Midwest teams, that great venue, and it should be a good one.
Dix, look who has solidified themselves in the top 10 yet again. Number 6, Rutgers, is 6-1, and they'll travel up north to play UMass at 1 o'clock.
Again, like I said, maybe no team gets kicked around like Rutgers when it comes to Division I lacrosse. Stepped up big last week to knock off a really good Princeton team, which all of a sudden their value has dropped a little bit after a couple of rough weekends. But Shane Knobloch playing terrific lacrosse. Dante Coolis has been a really nice surprise. Ross Scott was the known quantity coming into 2023, and Coolis has taken a lot of pressure off of him. UMass, a team that's – I'm just not super familiar with UMass for whatever reason. I don't cover a lot of the Colonial, and I don't get a lot of UMass games. I did watch about a quarter of their game against Yale. Not a great sample size because Yale dominated in that game. But UMass is always tough. And this is a blue collar kind of game, a little bit of a slugfest, and it could be like an 8-7, 9-8 kind of affair.
In the marquee game of the weekend, number 4 Maryland will travel to Charlottesville to play the top ranked Cavaliers at 2 o'clock. Before we talk about that game, we want to bring on our guest this week, Maryland head coach John Tillman. And I'm going to apologize in advance for the audio. Coach Tillman was going in and out a little bit, but let's bring him in for that conversation. Please welcome into the show the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins, John Tillman. Thanks for joining us again on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast, and welcome back, Coach.
Thanks for having me.
Coach Tillman, just asking you to look backwards a little bit to the beginning of the season. You guys beat Richmond in your opening game. Then you head to Baltimore to play Loyola, lose that game 12-7. Your All-American goalie, Logan McNaney, goes down with a knee injury. The lacrosse world thinks the sky is falling at the University of Maryland for the defending national champions. What was going through your mind at those right after that game, and your staff's mind, just to give us a little bit of insight?
I think you always, you know, when someone goes down like that, and, you know, any young person, when you coach, you're obviously first and foremost just worried about them. They put a lot into this. You know, when there's the potential for a significant injury, you just, you know, you're worried about them first and foremost. You know, you just, you see how hard they work, and you want to make sure they're okay. And, you know, help them get through that mentally. And then you kind of have to let everything play it out. You know, you got to get tests on. And obviously people knew Logan got hurt, and there was a lot of speculation about, you know, this or that. And I didn't get everything, but people were reaching out to me. But, you know, that was really the first injury Logan had had to in terms of a lower body injury. So that was something that just happened that day. There were no indications before that game. He wasn't injured in preseason. He did get dinged up in Lake Placid in the fall, but that was an upper body injury. And, you know, we sat him for a little bit in the fall. So obviously disappointed for him, but then like any time you deal with an injury and you do this long enough, injuries just happen. I think you try to do your best to, you know, be strategic with how you train to limit injuries, but it is a contact sport, and, you know, there's a lot of activity and running and things of that nature. So then it became, all right, what do we do next? And then that week we just, you know, kind of looked and said, you know, what are we going to do? And obviously we feel like we have some good options here. What was unique about that situation is one of our other goalies had already gotten hurt. So we were already down to three goalies. So we were down at that point to two goalies. So that was a bit of a concern. So we had to make a phone call to a young man who had tried out the year prior and reached out and said, would you be interested in coming back out again? So we got our numbers back up to three. So we're very happy that he rejoined us. And now we have three goalies on our roster that are healthy.
So there was no sweatpant gate with Logan McNaney or any of the conspiracy theorists out there?
No, and that's where I guess I was a little confused. People were reaching out to me, and I just didn't hear a lot of it firsthand. It was all people reaching out, you know, kind of expressing that there were these conspiracy theories. And to be honest, I went back and I reached out to my trainer, Anthony Barco, who's as good as there is out there. Our training staff is awesome. And I just, you know, double checked, hey, did I miss something? And he said, no. And I reached out to Logan and he said, no. And what we did find was there was a picture that people sent, and he does wear, I don't want to mistake this, but he does wear some sort of hockey type cup / thigh pads underneath his sweats. So it does manipulate when he's wearing sweats or shorts, it kind of does manipulate the look of it. And there was a picture that I totally get. When you look at it, it looks like there could be a brace. So totally get it. But I double checked with them and there was nothing there. So I guess if you want to go back to politics, there was no there. We just kind of weren't sure where that was coming from, but I double checked because I don't know. Maybe there was a day where, you know, there was some soreness or something like that. And but both Anthony and Logan said, no, there was nothing else. So I didn't see or hear a lot of it. So I really didn't spend too much time on it. I only asked because people that I respect out there had brought it to my attention that there were wasn't anything there, and it's kind of moved on.
Yeah, I was almost half joking there, really joking, Coach. Just it's funny how the lacrosse world gets revved up with certain things and they run with it. So thank you for that backstory. So you guys are 4-2 on the season. How would you best characterize 2023 thus far?
We've been inconsistent, and I think there's been, you know, you lose a last year, some guys program. So we that was happen. And coming back, I think there was, what's kind of nice about being in college is, you know, on average, you're going to turn over 25% of your roster anyway. And some years it's more, some years it's less. And with that is, you know, you always love to be around your guys and you get attached to them. And it's nice to have an experience. Deep down inside, you know, you like the fact that there are new opportunities and there are guys that have been working their butts off and they're going to get an opportunity to see new guys step up into new roles. And it's fun. It's fun to see. You're excited about, you know, what those young guys can do or the new guys can do with those opportunities. I think obviously we've taken a few injuries. You mentioned Logan, you know, obviously Eric Malaver, Josh Kaufman. So we've had some injuries that we've had to manage on top of that, which every team does. So, you know, that's put some newer guys into new spots. We've had to shuffle the lineup a little bit. We've had a lot of great competition. And, you know, coming out of the fall, there was just, you know, there were a lot of guys competing, which you love to have, but the difference between some of the guys playing and some of the guys not was not maybe as big as maybe prior years in certain spots. So there was still a lot of unknowns for us, like, you know, who would we, which combinations would work best together? Do we need to adjust some of our schemes to help bring out the best in our players, which I think is important. So we've been inconsistent, you know, the preseason, I felt like we were very inconsistent. And I think as a staff, we were concerned about that. And it did rear itself, you know, in the early season. You know, we had been inconsistent in practice. I wouldn't say we're not getting necessarily great effort. I think it's been inconsistent in terms of our focus. Maybe sometimes our intensity, our attention to detail, which is not unique with guys in new spots and new guys in new leadership roles. But I think we've grown. I think we've improved. I think since the loss in Baltimore, we've practiced better. You know, we've done it cultural things that we fall back on. And so the response by those guys has been better. And I still think we have a long way to go. So in a way that's really exciting is see how much better we can get because there are a lot of guys in new spots. So it's been fun to see. You're certainly proud of the guys based on, you know, some of the things that they've had to work through, some of the challenges that we've had. And we've seen some guys get better on a daily basis.
Coach, you mentioned some of the new faces who have had opportunities to step up. We've seen a lot of that on the offensive end. Who are some of the leaders who have emerged to power your offense?
Yeah, I think, you know, Daniel Kelly and Danny Maltz are guys that have been with the program. They obviously have families that have played lacrosse and they both on lacrosse for a long time. So I think those guys have done a good job, whether it's, you know, telling a guy where to go or just, you know, kind of giving guys encouragement. I think that's been great. Danny Maltz a little more quiet. You know, Kyle Long's been around the program for a long time. So he's got a wealth of experience and he's a guy we have a lot of faith in. Jack Brennan, guys that they're starting to get comfortable, guys that, you know, will vocalize things and tell guys what to do. So nice to see.
Coach, on the defensive end, you guys obviously return a plethora of great talent, Makar, Zapatello, Geppert at the long stick midfield position. One of your new faces, though, down there, Brian Ruppel, freshman goaltender. How would you best characterize his play and his journey to the starting role?
Yeah, the journey was interesting because I think it's all about plan B. And it was, you know, to redshirt him this year. You know, we feel like with coming into the year, you know, with a veteran goal, but having a guy like Teddy Dolan come in, who we do have a lot of confidence in, who's played a lot, you know, this would be a year where Brian could kind of learn the ropes and just get acclimated, learn from two veteran guys, and make that adjustment to college. And then it's plan B. And, you know, after Logan went down, we just, you know, we had a competition. And what was unique was Brian had spent time with really the scout defense, because Teddy and Logan were getting the bulk of the reps. So we had to kind of change that. Logan had his injury. So we brought Brian down. Teddy, the star, I think it was a tough spot to put Teddy in. I thought Teddy played fine. I think it, you know, anybody going into that, playing against a team like Syracuse, not the easy spot, but did feel like that and felt like, you know, we were going to give Brian against Princeton. That was a very late end of the week, just because we obviously do have in practice, and those decisions are never easy. You're never getting both goalies the same amount of reps and shots and the types of shots, just because that's how practice is during the week. We just felt like, you know what, Brian had done a good job. Let's give him a chance. And he showed. So we felt like we would stick with him. But again, if we needed to go back to point, we're confident in him, throwing him in there. He's done. He's learning. He's great. He's got great temperament for the goalie position. He's a very even-keeled young guy. He doesn't fire too low. He's got his body language, poise in the goal, I think, to guys having confidence in him. You know, he's very well respected off. So a lot of trust with everyone. And again, I think he's done admirable job in just a short amount of time.
Coach, you've had some outstanding performances in the last few weeks, but the schedule doesn't get any easier this week. You're traveling to Charlottesville to play the number one ranked team in the country, the Virginia Cavaliers. What have you seen from them on film, and what do you think are some of the keys for Maryland to get a win on Saturday?
I think for us, obviously, you're going to have to play 60 good minutes. You know, you obviously look at Virginia and as an extremely talented team at every position and very deep at every position. As they always are, extremely well-coached, really organized. Obviously, we have a lot of respect for that group down there. Lars does a great job, you know, with the overall part of it. But, you know, you got a veteran staff with good chemistry. You know, Sean does a great job with the offense, putting those great pieces. Good job as well, whether it's offs, goalies, and everything else. So they don't really have any. Your game is incredible. They've done it against some good teams. So we've got to play 60 good minutes. You know, you can't have lapses. Have to do a really good job of playing as well as you can all game long. You know, obviously they're going to put pressure because of the way they play on it's in the middle field and then defensively. So you got to be able to handle that. You got to be able to handle the kind of the highs and lows of the game, because the game will get up and down. I think both will push the ball when they have those opportunities. And, you know, you just got to make sure that regardless of what's happening, if one team gets on, just stay the course. But I do think, you know, you look at what they're doing in the opportunities early off, you know, getting opportunities off their ride. Those are all things that, you know, you've got to invest the time during the week. You're coaching up your guys. They have a sense of what you're trying to do. But then when you're out there doing it against just a really, really good team.
Coach, appreciate your time. A couple non-lacrosse related questions just to wrap up. We've been asking all the coaches this year. One of the fun aspects of working in a college athletic department is getting to know the other coaches and some of the other student athletes and building relationships with them. What's one other team at Maryland that you particularly like to go watch play?
I would say our women's team. This is just a tremendous person and coach, and I really enjoyed getting to know her. I'd known Brian very well from, you know, just playing in the club circuit, and him being a club coach. I've known him for a long time, and just my time here, I've really enjoyed getting to know Kathy more. I've learned a lot from her, just in a lot of different ways. She's an amazing mom. I don't know how she juggles all the balls that she does with being a college coach and a mom, and she's a great wife. But I love the way they play. Their staff is terrific. They play good defense. They, they get up and down. They have great skill. So they're a joy to watch. And obviously, we know those girls very well. So you get to know them, and you're on for them. So that would be a team for sure. But I think here it is pretty cool. Most of the coaches do have really strong relationships. So, we're pulling for all those guys. I used to share a locker room with men's soccer, and Sasho obviously has done a whole job here. The baseball staff, Rob Vaughn, his staff have done a really good job winning Big Tens. And we spent time with those guys. So I think we pull for everybody here. And it is unique where I just think everybody is really supportive of each other, and it's not fake. It's something that, we want to see everybody do well, and it's nice. They come to your games and you go to their games. So it's really cool.
All right. Final question. If someone's coming to College Park to visit, what restaurant do you recommend to them?
Geez. There's a lot of different places. Depends on what you're looking for. Obviously, Bent's is one that I haven't been there in a while because our kids. So the alum would probably recommend going to Bentley's. If you're going to go Burton's, if you want, just depends on what you're in the mood for. With us, that's something that we always want to eat well. Our guys, we got to make sure we do a good job on with the food factor.
All right, Coach, really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you this week against Virginia and throughout the regular season.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dicks, you remember the movie The Godfather?
Of course I remember the movie The Godfather. I don't remember The Godfather 3, but I remember 1 and 2.
You know that scene where Vito Corleone comes to Bonacera, the mortician, and says, "Look what they did to my boy. I need you to use all of your skills to patch this up." So his mother, when he sees the opening, that's the way I felt editing that interview with Coach Tillman.
Oh, I got you.
So that's the best I could do, everybody, editing that to make it the audio as good as we could. But he's got a big game. And, they had some adversity early in the season. He said they need to step up. Lots of guys have stepped up. New faces have stepped up after a graduation last year and some injuries this season. And I like where they're at. I like where the Terps are at right now.
They're playing really good lacrosse. The loss to Loyola, followed up by a win against Syracuse, where they really didn't get great goaltending. That opened the door for Brian Ruppel. He's been terrific in his three starts. A win over Princeton on the road, a triple overtime loss to Notre Dame, and then a really kind of workmanlike effort beating Albany last weekend up on the road. Now they get Virginia. And I really like, and I wasn't being a wise guy, and thankfully I know Coach Tillman well enough, and he knows we well enough, that he, with the Logan McNaney stuff, you should have heard the theories that were coming out after.
I didn't know any of this. I did not know what you were talking about.
So in the Loyola game, McNaney struggled. For my money, one of the best goaltenders in the country, if not the best goaltender in the country. I know the folks in South Bend will point to Liam Entenmann, but I just think hugely underrated. He just wasn't playing well against Loyola, wasn't seeing the ball. As we like to say, when you give up goals that normally you don't give up. So he was wearing sweatpants in the first half of that game. Second half, he came out and had shorts on. Not only did that happen, but Coach Tillman didn't use both of his timeouts in the first 30 minutes of the first half. By rule, you can use your second timeout before halftime ends, and you extend halftime by like 2 minutes. John did that. And everybody was thinking, McNaney was hurt, and that's why he used that timeout to give the training staff more time to work on whatever was the problem. You know, and then at the end of the toward the end of the game, he lands awkwardly on the sideline and you knew something was up. And that was the funny thing after that. Like, we actually saw that happen. And when you're trying to follow up with Maryland folks, you're like, oh, is Logan okay? Is he? And they're like, what are you talking about? What? And we're like, well, we saw him land awkwardly. Oh, we didn't see that. Or we're not aware of that right now. So it's like, but the rumors were flying and the conjecture was flying after McNaney came out in shorts after wearing sweatpants. And then Coach Tillman used that second timeout to extend halftime. But with all that in the rearview mirror, how about this game? ACC Network, can we say role reversal from last year? Where, yeah. I mean, when we covered that game at Audi Field, that was like a pick 'em, and Maryland blew Virginia out. Then you go to the NCAA tournament, and people were not happy that Maryland's path ended up including Virginia. They're like, that's not fair, blah, blah, blah. Virginia's the only team that could probably beat Maryland. Well, guess what the Terps did? They dominated the Cavaliers again. Could that happen this weekend? I mean, when you look at the number one team in the country, the amount of offensive firepower this team possesses, Peyton Cormier hasn't played the last couple games. You have to imagine if he's remotely healthy, he'll be in the lineup on Saturday against the Terps. This will be, you know, you think this will be a great game, but this will, you know, think about this. Maryland potentially could be 4-3 if they lose this game. I can't remember the last time a Maryland team lost three games in a season, let alone lost three games by the time we're not even out of March yet. You know, Maryland's strength of schedule, I think they're going to be just fine. Spoiler alert, they play Penn State next weekend. That'll be our first Big Ten game, network game. Joe B and I will be on that call. So you want to talk about an amazing schedule. You know, Maryland year in, year out plays one of the best, if not the best schedules in the country. You know, you think of teams like Hopkins, Loyola, Notre Dame plays a pretty good schedule.
Syracuse.
Yeah, they're up there with that. But that, again, that's the trend. Everyone's playing these stronger schedules. You know, we talked about Navy earlier. Navy struggling. Is it a byproduct of their schedule? I mean, a pretty soft schedule when you look at Navy's docket, you know? So I'm excited for this game. I am excited for this game, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, one thing John was talking about was he kept using the word inconsistency. One thing that hasn't been is their defense has been pretty steady, and that's their strength going up against Virginia's high-powered offense. So that'll be fun to watch.
LaSalle versus Weirman at the face-off dot, and you're right. You know, then now you've got this Maryland offense against a really long, really big Virginia defense. I think, and you know, again, role reversal. I think the you know advantage to the shorties of UVA in 2023 versus what Maryland had last year.
The late game is a great game, and it's a big one for both of these Ivy.
The late game is the great game. Look at you.
Number 17 Princeton at number 16 Penn, 7 o'clock game. These teams have both slid down to the bottom of the top 20, but they're certainly top 20 caliber teams. This will be a good one.
Lifeline game, right? I mean, this is one both these teams desperately, desperately need this win. You know, Princeton, very physical, maybe too physical. You know, we saw them really beat up Maryland in the NCAA semifinals last year, and I feel like they've taken that kind of tough mentality in 2023, and maybe it's not serving them in the best way that it can. But either way, huge Ivy League matchup. Yeah, what else is there to say other than, you know, I think this is the kind of game where you look at the matchups, you look at the personnel, and you're like, all right, who's just going to be better on this day? Who's going to get their team out of the funk? You know, and look, if Penn had not beaten St. Joe's in overtime last week, midweek, I mean, what, the Quakers are on a 4-game losing streak coming into this one? I mean, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but still, gigantic game in the Ivy League.
Sunday features two really good games. The first one is number 14 Ohio State travel out to the Rockies to play Denver, who's just outside of the top 20, ranked number 21, at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, if you're Ohio State, 3 weeks in a row, you gave up, what, 17 to Virginia, 16 to Cornell, and you gave up another 16 to Notre Dame. Obviously, three high-quality opponents. Top, all of them top five teams, right? At this, you know, probably Cornell might not be ranked. I can't remember where the Big Red are. But in terms of quality. So I think you got to be a little nervous if you're the Buckeyes, because that's the strength of your team. Your defense is the strength of your team. Now they're playing a Denver team that doesn't put up the numbers that those three put up, but are still incredibly efficient offensively, very, very talented. Denver came east the last three weekends, 1-2, lost an overtime to Duke, beat North Carolina, lost a two-goal game to Yale. Remember this game, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, this game was canceled because of the bomb cyclone? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do.
I think we had Coach Myers on, too, was our guest that week, you know, previewing Ohio State Denver. But, you know, a great out-of-conference game. And how about the Big East? For the last couple of years, it's been Georgetown's with Denver right there. So it's been a two-horse race. Now, all of a sudden, you got Villanova winning some really big games and playing some great lacrosse. So Denver will definitely be waving that Big East banner and trying to get the W over the Buckeyes this Sunday.
And finally, rounding out the weekend, Delaware, 5-2, been in the top 20 for most of the season, just outside of it right now. We'll play at Homewood Field against number 10, Johns Hopkins, 7 o'clock.
Again, the Blue Hens knocked off Hopkins last year in Newark. Is that where it is, Newark?
Newark.
Sorry.
Yeah, Newark.
My bad. That's my bad. Getting ready for this game, I'm looking, you know, with my prep, that attack unit, Mike Robinson, J.P. Ward, and Ty Kurtz, they are legit, man. They got a lot. They got some numbers that they're putting up. But they've stumbled a little bit lately. You know, lost to Villanova at the end of February, lost to Michigan, beat UMBC, beat Monmouth. So they've righted the ship. Now they got a Hopkins team that's going to be coming in second game in 48 hours. I'm interested in how Hopkins runs their personnel against Navy. Navy's pissed, and they're going to play hard on Friday night. They're going to be physical. What does Hopkins look like when they get out of that game? And Delaware's going to be waiting, you know, traveling, but they're going to be ready. They're going to be a little bit more rested. So this will be a terrific game. You know, I think one area where Delaware's fallen, not, I don't want to say fallen off, that's not fair, but they're not getting as good at goaltending this year as they have in the past from Kilcary. So that'll be big. But Delaware, Owen Grant, looking forward to seeing him play in person. Terrific long stick for the Blue Hens. And I think we mentioned it, you know, the defense for Hopkins playing at a high level. And how about Matt Narewski? A lot of people didn't think he was going to be able to play in 2023. He's back. He's made a difference for Hopkins. So a really good one on tap. Again, Ryan Boyle and I'll have the call for you.
Looking forward to watching that. Okay, Dix, it's time for the give and go. Today, St. Patrick's Day, the day where everybody is Irish and all things are green. And I gotta
say real quick before you go. So I know in our travels, we get, at least I get, you know, stopped and like, hey, love your podcast. Love the podcast. I meant to mention when Hopkins was playing Utah a couple weeks ago, Tim Haslam, he's the director of ops at Utah, was getting some things after the game, was taking some things, you know, off the roof of Hopkins, like video equipment or whatever, and made introduce himself, said hi, and was like, man, love your podcast. Listen every week. So we got, man, we go as far as Utah with this. I mean, I'm sure we got California and the state of Washington, but to hear that from Tim and Utah, I got to give him a special mention.
Someone reached out to me. They want to sponsor us and sit in on the give and go. They want to know, like Howard Stern would do, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, absolutely. You can pick the
topic. Why is this the first time I'm hearing of this?
I just had the conversation last weekend. All right. Okay. Let's get to it.
You've had 7 days to get to me, but you know, and we never talk. So,
well, we don't prepare. Just so everybody knows, Dixie's a real pro. I sort of prepare a lot of the format, and but I sometimes shoot him the games that he needs to preview a half an hour before. And we don't really talk about a lot of stuff, especially the interviews. Before we interview a coach, there's no discussion. We're just pros, and we know how to handle it. All right, so real quick, let's get to some of these St. Patrick's Day traditions, all right? And you're going to give me overrated, underrated, or just high quality.
Lay it on me, string bean.
All right, here we go. Irish food, and I'm going to break this down into three categories. I love when I go into like a Looney's pub, and the first day of March, they already have these things on there. Shepherd's pie, corned beef cabbage, you know, the boiled potatoes, and then bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash. I'm not a sausage guy, so not a big bangers and mash guy. I'll say that's – I've never really had it either. It just looks gross. So I'll go – I mean, I could go no opinion, but I guess I got to go overrated. Corned beef and cabbage, high quality, love it. Kelsey's, Ellicott City. Been there for a couple of St. Patrick's days. They got exceptional corned beef and cabbage and shepherd's pie. How can you go wrong with vegetables, meat, and mashed potatoes on top? High quality.
I know. I'm a high quality on all of those things.
Okay.
We don't eat a lot of them. I think shepherd's pie is the thing I eat most frequently out of
my wife three. Makes a good shepherd's pie. She makes sweet potatoes though, instead of mashed potatoes on top. Yeah, it's really good.
That's a little coastal elite for me. I'm just give me some old. But russet potatoes.
Give you some good spuds.
Yeah, just some russet spuds. <Yes. laughs> Fake mashed potatoes.
Right.
All right, next thing. We got to move on. I know we're short on time here. Just wearing green. Everyone wearing green, everybody being Irish.
Why not? I mean, it's, you know, whatever. It's St. Patrick's Day. That's fine with me. I don't care. Now, and I don't know if you're going to go there with this, but the guys that wear green and just get fall down stupid drunk, that's
on the list. So okay. I'll say just the fact that it's people just go out to bars, no matter. We had a German au pair, and St. Patrick's Day became one of our favorite holidays. And I said, you didn't even know what this was. You lived in Germany. You do not celebrate this. So don't try to tell me that this is like one of your favorite holidays of the year. But that's the idea that people just get blasted drunk.
Yeah, that's the one thing you can count on when we would go to Kelsey's. Yeah. You know, my wife and I would get there like 5 o'clock for something, and you got to like reserve, and there's different seatings and stuff. And inevitably there's somebody stumbling to their car or, you know, to get in a car, to get a ride home or Uber, just completely plastered, getting sick, can't even stand up. And it's like, you know, have a little respect for yourself.
One time I had to drive through Canton 15, 20 years ago, and it was on a Saturday afternoon, and it wasn't St. Patrick's Day, but I guess it was the weekend before or after when they were having the big celebration down there. And this was when the Jersey Shore was popular, and there was this one dude just standing there. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was just driving through, and he's just yelling, "Gabs are here! Gabs are here!" he's not going to be a fun roommate tonight.
Well, I tell you, what is that? Canton on St. Patrick's Day is like the epicenter of shenanigans.
I'd say it's overrated. As the legendary coach Jimmy Flynn would say, it's amateur hour. It's amateur night.
Right.
It's amateur night. All right, next thing. Dyeing things green. You know, the famous one is the river in Chicago.
Overrated, stupid, dumb.
I do think it's cool that a city dyes a river green every year.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that. Where are all the environmentalists during that?
All right. St. Patrick's Day parades.
I'm not a big parade guy, but I do know friends of mine. I have a lot of Irish friends, and they love the parade. So I'll say, you know, high quality.
Okay. I agree. It can be overdone, but the one in New York is really special. All right. Bagpipes and Irish music.
Love it. Love it. Love the bagpipes. I know my father growing up would play Kingston Trio records. They're pretty good.
Clancy Brothers. I'll say,
what's that?
The Clancy Brothers.
I remember those too. Yeah. Kingston Trio. I guess Peter, Paul, and Mary don't necessarily fall under. That's folk music, not necessarily like Irish music. I'll say high quality. I love bagpipes. I mean, you hear bagpipes, man. It's like, it's cool.
All right. What about people wearing shamrock necklaces? Those little dirt. I went to a networking happy hour last night, and it was St. Patrick's Day themed, and they had a photo booth with the glasses, and it's a little demeaning that you everyone's supposed to look like a leprechaun.
But overrated. Stupid.
What about the "Kiss me, I'm Irish"?
Yeah. No thanks.
You know what that comes from? It comes from Blarney Stone, you know, kissing the Blarney Stone.
Yeah, in Ireland. Yeah, sure.
But
overrated.
Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. If you, it's a good place to stop. We'd like to thank our guests this week, Maryland head coach John Tillman. Thanks for your time and best of luck to the Terps in 2023. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review. Tell a friend and share the love. It's free. We always love to hear from you. Give us a shout out on Twitter. He's at Dixon Lacrosse, and I'm simply at D_FLY. And as always, enjoy the games.